Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter if it's working for you, at Wood on ESPN 1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. I make that joke, Jordan, because we are recording this on a Monday, right as NFL free agency is about to start and Twitter is down, which is a great day to have NFL free agency down. And something you experienced this weekend with ESPN Plus being down.
It seems like everything is down. Like, yeah, ESPN Plus also down. I was unable. Apparently, I wasn't the only one. And
no.
It's funny because, like, I have never had any issues whatsoever with streaming on ESPN, and I've heard other people have. And, like, I was about to, like, react, like, on social media on Saturday night about, like, stop, you know, poo-pooing on ESPN. It's fine. I've never had any issues.
And then
I didn't respond, and then all of a sudden I put Maxwell to bed, so I would have missed the Rufi knockout of King Green, but I would have tuned in and saw Amanda Lemos, and you know, I couldn't get on. And then I'm like, all right, fine, missed the Lemos fight. I could still order it. Baja Mendez, Gaethje, you know, Pereira. And then it just stopped working. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm watching old episodes of The Office. Like, this is what I'm going to be doing now on my Saturday night.
Yeah.
A couple old fashions in. So, didn't work. Pissed off that I couldn't watch Pereira. But I guess it kind of is a good thing because the fight apparently sucked.
Apparently it was very boring. I watched some of it through an illegal, feed on TikTok, as I usually do. It was pretty boring, and, like, you kind of, as soon as Pereira was being put into the cage as much as he was against the wall, you're like, all right, this is not good. It's like, and, you know, Pereira was getting some shots in, and Ankalaev just was not reacting, and you're like, oh, this sucks. And, like, it was kind of a boring fight, and you could feel it from the crowd. Luckily enough, the fight right before between Gaethje and Fazeev was awesome. Like, does Gaethje ever have boring fights?
Never.
Never.
Never,
never
in a boring fight.
And
never
so
in a boring fight.
He beats Fazeev, and obviously we talked about that line being a little fishy heading in, and how are you getting Gaethje as a dog? We went with Fazeev, and Gaethje proved once again he can take punches, he can give out punches, and the dude won the fight. It was a great fight, too.
Yeah. But with just real quick, going back to Pereira, like, you know, so I was pissed off for two reasons. One, obviously by the ESPN not being able to watch it. But two, like, the immediate reaction post-fight was, well, like, he didn't lose the fight. Well, he didn't win it either. Like, you know, from what I read and, you know, what I've been seeing with the highlights, like, you know, you can't really defend the fact that he lost the championship. Like, he didn't go out there and try and win. He didn't fight, like, apparently, like a typical Pereira fight at all. Maybe that first round, and then maybe in the fifth, like, when he was, you know, there was a little bit of sense of urgency. So it's frustrating because, like, there could have been such big things for him had he won the fight.
Yeah.
His heavyweight opportunity, middleweight. And I guess, like, you could still make the argument that, like, he has those options because he still is, I think, in a lot of people's minds, that big of a star. But it's just, like, such a lackluster. I would have preferred, like, he go out in a sortie. He got knocked out. You know, he got taken down and got smothered. This was just, like, all right. It was, like, typical, like, Magomed Ankalaev fight that, you know, he's now we've grown accustomed to seeing him. When he's not smashing people, he's out there and he's just kind of playing it safe and, you know, not being threatened and winning fights.
So I guess now what's next for Pereira is a rematch in order. I saw talk of that because he lost, he shouldn't automatically get the title shot against John Jones. It should be, you know, he should have to fight Allen, and then the winner of that fight gets to fight John Jones.
Aspinall,
what I meant. Yeah,
it's
said
like Brendan,
Allen.
Brendan Allen's moving up to
Aspinall. Listen, dude, it's free agency. I'm reading about Jonathan Allen. I'm thinking of Aspinall. Like, it's a messed up day. There's a lot going on this week, man. So Aspinall and then Pereira would fight, and then the winner of that fight would go on to fight John Jones. What do you think is the most likely path for Pereira next?
I think he's going to get a rematch with Amaga and Kalayev. Okay. I think that they're going to try and book that, you know, relatively soon. because I think waiting around for John Jones, they're going to try and maybe get Aspinall another fight. Jelton Almeida was thrown out as a potential challenger for the interim heavyweight championship, or I don't even know if it's undisputed. I don't even know what who's got what, because everybody's just kind of waiting on the sidelines. But I think, yeah, the most likely scenario, because there isn't another, you know, light heavyweight that you say, okay, he's next in line, he deserves it. Mm-hmm. So I think that you immediately try and book it kind of relatively quickly. International Fight Week needs a headliner. Yeah. That's coming up rapidly. Hell, Pereira might raise his hand and say, "Hey, I'll fight in Miami."
Well, I mean, he did say, you know, like afterwards in his interviews, he was like, "I'm going to go back to training in a couple days. Like, I'm not hurt." You know, like right. He didn't suffer any significant injuries. It's not like his eye was busted up or any, you know, he didn't break anything or anything like that. No fractures in his feet or whatever, you know. So, like, yeah, he could go right back to training and then get back into fighting. It's something I don't know if fans want to see a rematch of a boring fight, you know. But if that's the path that he has to take, then that's the path he has to take. I think him versus Aspinall would have more draw than a rematch.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that was also the path that Pereira took, you know, when he decided to move up to light heavyweight. He lost the rematch to Israel Adesanya and then decided to pursue a championship in another weight class. Now, granted, that was a kind of a number one contenders fight. It wasn't a fight for the title immediately at light heavyweight, but nonetheless, you know, he put himself in that position there. Basically, whatever Alex Pereira wants to do, he's going to have the option to do. I think that he's not going to be kind of under the rule of Dana and the UFC. He's going to say, "Hey, here's what I would like to pursue, what's available for me," and then, you know, the UFC will abide. Because also, you know, as we know now, champions are not going to be able to jump weight classes and keep belts. Not that, like, no, Magomed's, but you get my point. Like, mm-hmm. Pereira's not going to hold up any division based on what decision he makes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's good for the UFC because, again, you don't want people holding belts hostage and all of that kind of stuff. Let's look into these other fights here that happened on the main card. I believe, so obviously my prop of the night did not hit because Ignacio Bahamondes won by submission, but I believe our parlay did hit. So it was... No, it didn't?
It did not, because we had Fazeev as part of that parlay.
Oh, that's right. We did have Fazeev as part of the parlay. That's right.
We added that parlay. And we got bailed out, too. I mean, let's be honest. Marlon Santos...
Yeah.
Marlon Santos did not win that fight against Francis Marshall. The judges gifted him that fight. And, you know, that was a bad read, too. He was a big-time prospect, and I thought he was going to go out there and just finish Francis Marshall. So that was a bad look. But we bounced back. You know, Bruno Ferreira looked good. Mm-hmm. Carlos Leal with the early finish. That mm-hmm. was nice. And then, obviously, Lemos we gave out here on the and we look, I said Magomed Ankalaev was going to win the fight.
You did.
He ended up being plus 110 come when they were walking into the cage. So hopefully some people grabbed it. Jack won 4-3. So you had a winning night with Fat Jack again. So it's 2 weeks in a row. And you know, God, now we go to this fight card.
Yeah.
Thank God there's going to be some college basketball, you know, conference championships going on during this fight. I mean, I looked at it right now. The path to victory that I'm going to look at and dive a little bit deeper in, there is like several fighters making their UFC debuts that are like undefeated that are big like favorites.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be like one or two maybe opportunities to pursue. So I'll dive a little bit deeper, you know, certainly into that. Ryan Spann is making his heavyweight or second appearance at heavyweight. That's interesting. And then, look, right now at the main event, Marvin Vettori and Roman Dolidze. It's an interesting middleweight fight. It's a rematch. Dolidze's kind of been on a little bit of a come-up since he's made the decision to drop down the middleweight and not fight smaller at light heavyweight. That could be interesting. And he's the dog right now. But I'll dive deeper into that. I mean, it's just such a shit card.
Yeah. Maybe they do that on purpose because they know everybody's going to be watching college basketball.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, then you just got to wait a week and then look, you go to London, England for a beautiful fight card with, you know, our boy Leon Edwards coming back. No, I'm just kidding.
Our boy Paddy the Batty coming back.
Well, Paddy the Bat. I mean, UFC 314 in Miami is going to be fire. Absolute fire. But like there's some good fights before that. But yeah, when you talk about Volkanovski, Lopez, Chandler, Pimblett, Bryce Mitchell, John Silva now is getting a lot of heat, obviously, for that, you know. And so did you see him? He was walking around with a globe.
Oh yeah, dude.
At the press conference.
I sent that to you, and I'm like, I hope this dude, like, he, like, Bryce Mitchell looks scared. Like, I've never seen, like, that, you know, how long are we away from this fight card? And the dude just looks outright scared. And carrying the globe around, obviously he's wearing the glasses and everything, and carrying the globe and trying to go up to him and hand him the globe. Like, it's, dude, I mean, obviously there will be some bad people on Bryce Mitchell's side for that fight, but I think that it's going to be 98% that he gets knocked the fuck out. Like, it's going to be
great. And you look at, too, like now you look at John Silva's last performance, Carlos Leal's last performance, and then Rufe's performance. The fighting nerds are, like, knocking people out ridiculously.
Dude, you want to know how I know my phone is listening to me? I'm getting targeted ads to buy fighting nerds merch.
I'm not a big, like, I think I have one UFC shirt. It's a Rumble Johnson shirt, and, you know, rest in peace, Rumble. But it's Rumble, like, in script letters. Like, I might be interested in a fighting nerd shirt. That is certainly something.
I was looking at it. I was consider. Like, someone might be getting a present this year. Someone
fighting
might,
nerd shirt or a Chama. Those are the two.
Someone might be getting, what are you, a medium, large, medium? What are you going, what are you rocking with these days?
Yeah, I'm a medium.
A medium? Okay. Yeah, all right. Medium. All right. Yeah. I was looking at that. And I was like, Jordan might be getting something this year. That might be the podcast gift to you this year, is that you get a fighting nerd shirt or hoodie or something like that. Because I was like, why am I getting targeted ads? Oh, because we talk about them
all the time. We talk about the fight nerds all
the time. We do talk about them all the time. Anything else from this, you know, card that we saw this on Saturday that you take away from? I know we casually mentioned the Bahamondes fight. He looked really good again, you know, getting the submission, not something we saw coming.
I think the interesting thing, and I wasn't on it, and maybe some other people were. Like, I just like, stylistically, the matchup for Bahamondes against Jalen Turner. But then when you hear that Jalen Turner is retiring, like, and, you know, he's still definitely a young guy, he's only 29 years of age, but the fire wasn't there, the draw wasn't there. I mean, there's a little bit of, like, you know, you asking, like, did some people have some inside information? Not like the line was, like, inflated. Like, there wasn't, like, a ton of sharp money that put Bahamondes as a huge favorite. But, like, a lot of people that I respect in this industry were on Bahamondes for this fight. And then when you looked at, like, it's just weird that, you know, he retires at 29 years of age. And I'm sure he'll be back because he's just so relatively young. But that's a big time win for Bahamondes, and, you know, that fight camp, the Chicago fight camp with obviously Bilal, is getting a lot of, you know, interesting hype too. And you know, and then Rufe, like, just how phenomenal he looked with that spinning back wheel kick knockout of you know, Bobby King Green. What's next for him, and what's next for King Green? You know, I mean, now that is three times out of four that he has been brutally finished. The knockout to Jalen Turner, the submission to Paddy Pimblett, and then just the KO. So, like, is he at the point now where he might consider just hanging it up? Probably not, because Bobby Green is, you know, King Green's a fighter's fighter, so I'm sure he's going to continue to get out there.
And then what does Gagey do next?
Gosh. You know, he might campaign for that trilogy fight with Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. Dustin's looking for like, one more fight. If not, you know, Gagey, I think maybe does he welcome Ilya Topuria to the lightweight division? That would be bonkers of a fight. There's definitely options for him just because of how entertaining a fighter he is, but he's not in title contention. That right is, you know, obviously reserved for a Charles Oliveira, who's fighting Armin Sarukian in a rematch, or, you know, I think really those are the two at 155. I can't really think, you know, I mean, I look, if Michael Chandler, or no, not, but Paddy Pimblett, like, goes out there and starches Michael Chandler, like, he's got that popularity behind him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Gagey Pimblett fight.
Oh, God, that'd be good. That'd be really good. Just stylistically, that'd be fun. Because Gagey, like we talked about, they're never in boring. He's never in a boring fight. Yeah. So that would be good.
I guess you have to follow. He was supposed to fight Dan Hooker. So, like, does that fight?
But he just had surgery, apparently, too.
Yeah, his hands.
Yeah.
His hands, so.
So, okay, as we put the cap on that, we look at the next week. You mentioned a little bit on Vittori and Dalidze, this rematch. Vittori minus 140 right now. Dalidze plus 110. It is Monday, so we don't really have any, you know, we haven't seen weights. We haven't seen any of that kind of stuff. But just kind of broad this main card here for us before we get out of here on this unnamed MMA podcast.
Yeah, and a lot of those like debutants fighters are making, it's on the prelims and stuff like that. So, you have to pay attention to that. Look, the co-main event will be fun. Shitty and Jacolani and Alessio Dos Santos are two, you know, fantastic strikers. Dos Santos certainly up in age, but he just came off of a very impressive knockout his last time out. So that'll be a fun fight. Alexander the Great, Hernandez, Kurt Halibo always put on entertaining fights. So we'll watch that as well. But like I said, I think if you need to make a play right now, I would grab the Robert Dalidze at plus money. I think
he's the dog. Okay.
Yeah, the dog at plus 120, 130. I think certainly worth a look and a gamble there. But, you know, more releases, more, you know, stuff will be set out later in the week.
Yeah, Jordan's hot. 5-0 2 weeks ago, a winning weekend this weekend. You know, hopefully you're not too distracted by the Illini in the Big Ten tournament this week to get some picks out there for us.
My focus will be in the right places, which means it'll be on both.
Yes, exactly. One eye there and one eye on the on the picks there. So make sure you follow Jordan on Twitter, at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Like I just said, all the college basketball is going to be there. Baseball starting up soon. Basketball, hockey, soccer's been red hot for Jack right there. So FatJackSports.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll be back next week for another edition of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.